Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined today by Brian E. Roach. What's going on, Brian?
It's the day after Snowbageddon or Snowpocalypse. It's lovely.
Yeah, I avoided all of that. Pothole apocalypse is, yeah, try saying that. That sounds like I'm almost speaking like, like one of these Middle Eastern language. Pothole apocalypse.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? That actually kind of goes with the whole Pittsburgh thing, pierogies, kielbasa, and the Polish population. It almost sounds like a good old Polish name there, Polhakovics. You know what? I was thinking about, speaking of, I always have these correlations between myself and yourself, and I was thinking about tandems, duos, you know, like the whole Batman Robin thing, Wayne and Garth. I got one for you today. This one might blow your mind if you're a fan. I don't know if you're a fan or not, but buddy cop movie, Riggs and Murtaugh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's easy. Lethal Weapon is wonderful.
But which one are you? Are you the disgruntled old man or the crazy guy?
I can be either. We can transpose those positions at any given time. You can go from being Murtaugh sitting on the toilet to being Riggs going crazy. Or I can do the other one.
You're the guy. All right, you have to hear this out, folks. This is a little bit not exactly potty humor, but they do have a Bitmoji. If you don't know what that is, it's the cartoonish characterized version of yourself you can make with an app and send text to friends. And Brian's always sending me the one with the guy on the toilet. So you, and also being old and close to maybe retirement, I think Murtaugh might fit you, but Riggs is just, crazy. He's out of his mind, and that also fits you. You may just be a lethal weapon all your own. So
I'm too old for this poop.
You know what I'm too old for? Or we should say what's getting old. And we're going to talk about it today. Le'Veon Bell and all of the franchise tag / long-term deal / contract / am I a Pittsburgh Steelers / am I going to retire / am I a rapper / I don't even know what else. Just so many things going on there. And the thing that really drives me the craziest, the most of all this, has nothing to do with Le'Veon Bell. It has to do with Juju Smith-Schuster trying to persuade LeBron James to come to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I can't imagine the way LeBron is a drama magnet with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't want him in the Steelers locker room. Him and Bell, it would either be a whole lot of fun when you add AB and Juju and a few other of the prima donnas that are in the National Football League, or it could be a complete and total disaster having LeBron James on the Pittsburgh Steelers roster.
I mean, he went on and did an interview about it. And I can't really believe this is a serious thing. It's ridiculous. It's silly.
If they sold tickets for training camp, I could maybe get on board with it. It almost reminds me of like Brock Lesnar trying out for the Vikings, or here's another scenario where Chad Ochocinco was trying out for Sporting Kansas City in Major League Soccer years ago. And I just think it's one of those, like a preseason attraction, because otherwise people would have zero or less than zero interest in paying attention to these things, practices and scrimmages and exhibition games, with my air quotes here. But today we have something more important than, oh, by the way, too, is just the Juju on his bicycle wearing the white number 23 jersey, of which it says it's LeBron James and not Mike Mitchell's jersey. Just, I'm like, he got a custom LeBron James jersey made and probably like overnighted it, because I know those don't come that quickly. But you know what? He makes the big bucks now, so he could do that. But that was on Instagram, and so was Le'Veon Bell last night saying, I'm going to answer all of your questions, which was more of just a rambling and a stumbling and bumbling around his apartment complex for the first 5 minutes of it or so. There were some things said, and then there were some other things said, and then there were other things said. And, well, I'll let you continue that statement with the, can we believe anything that Le'Veon Bell's saying?
that's really the bottom line of where my problem is with Bell right now, is can we believe or trust the words coming out of his mouth, to use a different Buddy movie quote. But it's, you know, last night Bell sat down and you know, he was going to answer questions from fans, and it was interesting to watch him do so, because he clearly sidestepped the questions he didn't want to answer, or which painted him in a less than perfect light. But, you know, he did manage to attack. One question was, why so much money? And he answered that by saying, you know, going down the road of, my value is my value and we're undervalued, and that refrain. But he also got asked, you know, will you play on the tag? And within the space of really about 90 seconds, he said, yes, I will, and no, I won't.
I will, and maybe I won't, and it could be week one. I'll be there in the facility for week one. Or maybe week four, or maybe not at all. Like, it all depends on when this gets done. Well, not exactly, because if he wants paid, he's got to sign that thing. There is a deadline for it, and there's only so long. It's not like they could rip up this thing in October and give him a long-term extension. It's not how the franchise tag works. There's a finite deadline to these things. So now that he's tagged, there is another deadline. This isn't self-imposed or anything else. This is mandated by the league, and he just won't have an extension or a long-term contract, and then we're going to be right back in this boat again next season if nothing happens by that deadline. But right now, his exact words were rerun. This is a rerun of last year, and it's just like, oh, wonderful, as he announces all the things he's not going to show up for. But then, well, I think they want to do a deal. I think I want to do a deal. Everybody wants to do a deal. I'm not showing up for OTAs or mini camps or anything like that, and I'm not required to. It makes me wonder. I pose this question internally with all of us. Is he just used to having like these spans of vacation where, you know, if you go back, he's been hurt or suspended for almost every NFL season, right? He was laid up his rookie year. So he missed the first three games of his rookie season. He got hurt at the tail end of 2014. So that was his full season there. 2015, he got hurt midway through, laid up as well. And then the 2016 season, suspended, what, the first four games, right? He sat the final one. So he played 12 games that season. And then last season, he sat out all of this stuff because he's not required. You can't require someone that's not under contract to be there. If he doesn't put his pen to paper on the franchise tag and sign his tender, then he can't be forced to go anywhere or do anything. He could do as he pleases. And I'm just wondering to myself, it's like, just, does he love having all of this freedom and vacation time? Maybe it has nothing to do with how many years or how much guaranteed money or anything like that. He's just yanking everyone's chain because he just marches to the beat of his own drum and just doesn't want to be told what to do.
Well, I'm sure there's a tiny bit of that. I can't buy into the I want a vacation every year and I'll show up when it's game one concept, simply because at some point that's not a valid path for him. You know, this is it. I mean, we're reaching critical mass this season with Le'Veon Bell. He either signs a deal this year or he's done. I don't believe they're going to sign him into a deal after this season. They're not going to tag him a third straight year. That's just really kind of inconceivable. It's not going to happen. So it's either he signs before that July deadline or he doesn't, and this is his last year in Pittsburgh. You know, and if that's the case, if he's really, you know, I'm going to reset the market, and I've said this, I've been saying this on Twitter for the last few days, I don't believe there's a team out there that's going to do what he wants them to do. I just don't. I don't buy that they're going to give him the money he wants. I don't buy that they're going to hamstring themselves financially by doing so. Because even though he likes to spit out Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson's name and has over the last couple days as guys who got big deals, those teams never won with those guys. And the part of the reason they never won is they didn't have any money left to pay for other people. They couldn't put a whole team on the field. And, you know, there's, you know, Bell wants to be the highest paid running back. I'm sure Ben wants to be the highest paid quarterback, and everybody on the offensive line wants to be the highest paid person, and everybody wants to be the highest paid. The difference is, I think many of those guys want to win a championship and are quite content to be paid a fair and reasonable amount that isn't necessarily the highest. And that, to me, even though Bell has said it's all about championships, it's all about bringing us in, it's all about bringing the trophy back to Pittsburgh, when you say things like, I may not show up till week 4, I may not show up until week 10, even if you then later go back and go, oh, I was in my feelings, I was all in my feels, and that's not what I really meant. Of course I'll be there, but maybe not. You know,
but wait, there's more. It's the Billy Myers commercials, you know?
That's not a guy who wants to bring a championship home as his priority. That's a guy whose priority is me. And look, I get it to a certain extent. Bell has to do the best he can for himself. There's no question running back's lifespan in the league and all players' lifespan in the league is not tremendously long, but running backs is much shorter. They wear down faster for the most part. So, you know, you don't have a lot of guys that have an AP-like career where they play 12 or 13 years. So, you know, I get that he wants to get paid and he wants to make his money up front. But at some point, your dreams of glory, your dreams of you know, resetting the market and doing all these things have to also jibe with what is real and come back to the land of reality and understand turned down for 13 plus million a year for three, you know, and 42 plus million for the first 3 years. Even if he didn't think the money was guaranteed, the Steelers don't bail on guys when they get injured. Just ask Marquise Pouncey. They don't do it. And, you know, that was a more than fair offer. $5+ million more than the next running back in the league. That is resetting the market. So, you know, can we believe when he says, that's what I want to do, then he's given the opportunity to do that, and he goes, no, that's not good enough. I just really wonder, you know, whether you can trust Le'Veon Bell to do what he says he's going to do anymore. And where is his headspace at, and what is his real ultimate goal? In my mind, it's just about his brand and making Le'Veon Bell be on people's lips and tongues.
Well, that could be, and we'll touch on that in a moment with his, you know, rap hobby and et cetera, when it comes to that. And also, you know, water is wet and or is water wet?
And fire is burnt. Water is wet and fire is burnt.
Man, he was yanking everyone's chains. I mean, we got the big questions out the way, and then there was just a couple dumb things that were in there. And somebody did ask him about LeBron, I think, if I recall, too. But a few comments on the things that you said. Well, the first thing is the vacation thing that I was talking about is it's not like the Steelers go to this, like, luxury resort somewhere and, like, California or have this state-of-the-art training facility that they have their camp at. They go to St. Vincent's College, literally in the middle of nowhere Western Pennsylvania, nestled inside like the small the beginning of the Appalachian Mountains. And I mean, there's not a whole lot out there. I mean, there's like a Walmart, because, you know, those are like everywhere. But you know, That's one thing I think about in those circumstances is you know, does he want to go through that? And maybe that's part of his thought process. Or, of course, another part of that thought process, too, is getting tagged. Hey, I'm making this much money, and I'm not taking anything less than that right now. And that may be just the standstill right now, the stalemate, until next season when he's not going to get tagged for just to give somebody an indication of what it is now. It's over $14 million. Last season, his tag, when you're first, there's three different tags, okay? There's an exclusive rights, there's a non-exclusive, which in a non-exclusive, that means you can negotiate with other teams. Exclusive obviously means what it means. If you're tagged with that one, you're not going anywhere. And there was no cost difference between the two, so the Steelers did the exclusive tag last year. They did the exclusive tag again this year. This year, it's 20% of the previous salary, as opposed to when you're first tagged, it's the top average of the top five running back salaries. So Adrian Peterson, I believe, heavily skewed these numbers to where they are right now. And he's talking about Adrian Peterson from years ago and Chris Johnson and what they got paid and then how that all reset. Well, that was handcuffing teams with the salary cap. They found out there's better ways to make use of their money. And, of course, a third year and that percentage of increase is no way anyone's going to get near any of those numbers. I would even dare right now that if the Steelers just told him to go fly a kite and let him hit the market, it's going to be like that Donta Hightower deal with the New England Patriots where he was making the small tour last year and trying to hold their feet to the fire. And they said, there's no way you're not getting this amount of money. And he found out what his market value, what his worth really was. And he ended up crawling back to them because it was a fair offer and the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Now, I was going to say there may be two teams that would be willing to do that type of dance. And that would have been if Al Davis was still alive in Oakland and if Jerry Jones didn't have Ezekiel Elliott. I could see those guys definitely taking on a larger-than-life personality like Le'Veon Bell. And you giggle because you know the Raiders. I mean, they took Marshawn Lynch in. If they had the money, I think they would pay Le'Veon Bell. But the point is, and for the need and what Bell wants, no one has both a need at the running back position. They could always upgrade, and Bell would be an upgrade. But for what that's going to cost, for what he's demanding, what he's asking for, no one has that type of cap space. I think maybe the Cleveland Browns, we were talking about, oh, well, this team has this cap space. This, you know, I don't think those teams necessarily, they may have a hole at running back. But you look at, I don't know if the Dolphins were one of them or not. But you take so many teams and look at their rosters, and they have other holes to fill. You know what I mean? They may not even have a quarterback, or they may need guys on defense or offensive linemen. You're taking a lot for granted there that Le'Veon Bell, one, stays out of trouble off the field. Two, stays healthy, although I won't fault him for having people target him below the waist and at his knees. That's kind of out of his control. Or the other part of this, too, is will he be the same player without Ben Roethlisberger throwing him the ball so he could say he's a wide receiver too, or without running behind Mike Munchak's offensive line that had three Pro Bowl linemen on it this year and possibly even a fourth if Marcus Gilbert ever, well, one, doesn't get suspended, or two, gets the recognition he deserves. And I have to argue there are very few teams in this league where he could go in that backfield and have the very same success, especially with that patient style of his, if that offensive line has the wrong kind of holes in it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I would venture to say, I'll go even one step further. There isn't one. I wouldn't say there may not be. I'd say there isn't one. Bell's fit is in Pittsburgh. The offensive line and the way they block are attuned to the way he runs. And they know, you know, he knows their idiosyncrasies and they know his. They know that he's going to be waiting back there. It took time for them to adjust to that. So, you know, he's not going to walk into another situation and be who he is in Pittsburgh. He is a unique fit for the offense that they play. I don't buy that he's just going to walk into another team and cut it up. Just again, let's talk about a running back who thought he was going to do that, named DeMarco Murray. More than once, did not work out so good for him. He tore it up in one offensive scheme. and stunk it up in another. And, you know, the miles do wear down on these guys. There's no question about that. You know, all of that being said, as I've been repeatedly saying, my ultimate hope is that the Steelers and Bell figure something out before July's deadline comes to pass. But as time goes on and the rhetoric surrounding this drama, this soap opera, this rerun, as Bell puts it, of last season, I start to become less and less optimistic that that's going to happen. And I will honestly say, even if he signs the tag and then, you know, on right before week one game, and then says, you know what, I'm still not showing up because I'm not going to show up. If I'm the Steelers, I rescind the tag immediately and say, thanks, fine, see you, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. You know, I don't know these young, hip lingo things.
I'm going to just not touch that one. I mean, it's kind of the way I was feeling about this topic, and we hadn't talked about it forever because it would have been every episode thus far because it seems like there's something new all the time and all the back and forth and whatnot. And I want to set a few things straight because there's the people that are supposedly the Bell haters. I'm not going out here and wishing harm on the guy or any ill will. This is where we titled this, I believe, empathize is part of that too, because I can totally get from his perspective. If I'm in his shoes, I'm going to try and get what I can get. But you got to understand, you may ask for $20 million. It doesn't mean you're going to get it. And that was kind of my bringing up Dont'a Hightower, the whole point there. Is that the market's not going to bear what I think Le'Veon Bell thinks he's valued at. And you're looking and you're paying. He's thinking about what he's done thus far. Teams have to think about what he's going to do in the future. And you saw how DeMarco Murray, a perfect example. In fact, that was one that Tommy Jaggi used a few weeks ago in comparison of, is Le'Veon Bell diminishing? And I argue, too, that he had a lot of carries last year. He didn't have those big runs to average out his yards per carry and everything like that. And he's a heck of a receiver, obviously. I mean, that catch he made in the Jacksonville game, I don't think there's a running back in the league that can make that catch. But then again, Ben's throwing it there because it is Le'Veon Bell. He could have went somewhere else. That me priority, if you want to bring the 7th Lombardi Trophy home to Pittsburgh, you got to be able to have some wiggle room here. You have to be reasonable, and you have to do what's not only right for yourself, but you have to do what's right for the team, because the team that ends up paying this large contract, that's all they're going to have is a high-priced running back and nothing else. That's kind of where the Vikings were. That's kind of where the Tennessee Titans were with Chris Johnson, and the Vikings, of course, with Adrian Peterson. And then Peterson got hurt, and then he got into trouble with the whole, you know, the thing with the switch. I'm just going to leave it at that. And there was like two seasons there completely like missing. And that really hurt that franchise. Chris Johnson was never anything like he was when he ran for like 2,000 yards or whatever that one season. That was an outlier, and they showed him the money like Rod Tidwell in the Jerry Maguire movie. And I really feel that's where I'm going with this segue is that somebody is giving this guy some bad advice. It sounded like he had some talking points that were rehearsed or coached, and he's got some things planted in his brain that are being spoken into his ear, one side or the other, softly, an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. And that devil's saying, go get all that money. But on the other hand, just look at the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, even at the quarterback position, which is the highest paid position in the NFL by far, no one has bigger contracts or being paid more money than quarterbacks. And just wait, Kirk Cousins is going to drop here soon. He's going to be the next guy to get paid, and Aaron Rodgers is going to get paid too. You look at this and you look at, okay, the Ravens won a Super Bowl. And then they went and they backed up the Brinks truck and paid Joe Flacco. Well, what's gone on since then? They have no running backs. They got rid of probably the guy that was most consistent and most, aside from the defense, the guy on the offensive side of the ball that was the glue of that offense was Anquan Boldin. And they had to ship him away to the San Francisco 49ers in a trade because they couldn't afford to keep him anymore because of Joe Flacco. And then they couldn't keep Torrey Smith because Torrey Smith ended up off of his rookie contract and they couldn't afford him. And there's and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And then a few other guys like Lewis and Ed Reed retire and they haven't replaced those guys, and they still didn't replace Ray Rice from his incident, and they couldn't afford other things, and this, all of this stuff has been a disaster. Now they still be competitive, but they're not a Super Bowl contender by any means. And I would argue that Joe Flacco contract really handcuffed their situation. That's what I don't want to see happen with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I mean the thing with Ryan Shazier, this freak accident, the timing of it is almost strange. It's odd. It's almost too well timed because you have all this Bell stuff going on at the same time. Can you imagine having to make a decision between Ryan Shazier, a healthy Ryan Shazier, by the way, and Le'Veon Bell? Because they would be talking about doing it. I'm surprised this hasn't come up yet, as anything with Shazier as for his future, and if they see him playing, because he's under contract for this year. He's not under contract for the following season. And, you know, I wouldn't anticipate. He seems like a stand-up guy who wouldn't just, you know, skip town, especially with, you know, all considering there. But it's just an example of Shazier. There are other guys that are going to be coming up for contract soon as well. They got to make a decision on Bud Dupree on a fifth-year option or whether or not they're going to kick the can and then see what he does and do another deal or wait, or do they do it now and extend him? Do they do like a Tuitt type deal? These are the things you need to keep the core of your team together, or else you're going to end up like the Baltimore Ravens or worse, maybe the Bengals or something like that, because they got a ridiculous contract with Andy Dalton and some other guys, but they don't have much of anything else for a team.
Yeah, it's – you just – you know, the truth is you cannot win with one huge star. You're going to need a multiple level of quality players. And when you invest heavily in one aspect of your team – and you have people who insist that they're going to get paid, in the real long term, it's going to hamstring you. And it's not just players that do it. As you pointed out with the Ravens, teams make mistakes too.
Yeah, the Steelers, Lamar Woodley. I mean, they were paying.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
That was past performance, largest defensive contract ever. That was a franchise tag turned into an extension and a long-term deal, and was the biggest deal ever. And then he just consistently got hurt and was never the same player again, and ended up – that really saddled them with dead cap money for years, even after he was gone.
Yeah, and let's look at that again. Again, here's the Steelers, you know, because one of Bell's chiming points is guaranteed, guaranteed, guaranteed. The Steelers don't put guaranteed money in contracts, not to any great extent. But despite the fact that they don't do it, those first 3 years are pretty much guaranteed. You're going to get that money. The Steelers don't bail on guys, especially guys that they've homegrown, you know. And so, you know, when you take that into account – you can't look at a contract offer from the Steelers and say, well, you know, all I'm getting is my signing bonus. No, if you get hurt, you're going to get at least the next year. You may even get the next two. They're not going to cut you. They just don't do that. It's not the way that team operates.
No, and even the thing with Antonio Brown with the restructure and the bonus, you have to remember this was what we were talking about internally, and one of the comments, I'll protect the guilty. We were talking about, you know, Antonio Brown and how much he was making base salary, blah, 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 and then also talking about, well, now it's all guaranteed money or whatever in the bonus. Yeah, they didn't do it in the first year. They never do it. It's 1 year. That's it. They don't do it in that first year of the contract. They don't say, well, this is however many guaranteed over 3 years. They never saddle themselves with that. And really, this restructure type of deal, all it is it's accounting. It's accounting tricks.
Yes.
It's accounting tricks. So on the books, things get shuffled around. So it creates cap space. It doesn't really create cap space, but it creates cap space. They're still spending the money, and now they're going to be forced to spending for sure. So it's just an accounting trick. That's the best I could explain it here, folks. And he just did the same thing with like two, three other guys. I want to say Ben Tuitt and DeCastro, if I'm remembering this correctly. So they're trying to move some things around. And let's face it, they're doing this because one of their priorities is to make Le'Veon Bell happy. Can they make him happy? It's from the sounds of things, he sounds like, when I try to plan to go somewhere out to eat with my wife, we can never agree on the same place. And then when we do agree, I don't know, I'll throw out a place, even though I don't really go there. Olive Garden, first thing off the top of my head. And let's go to Olive Garden. And all of a sudden, nah, I don't know, I don't feel like Olive Garden. We just said Olive Garden 2 minutes ago. Well, no, I kind of changed my mind. Maybe we can go to this steak house instead. And it's like, well, no, I don't want to spend $60 going out and getting steak. What would you rather do, go to McDonald's? And it's like, I don't know. We could do McDonald's. You want to do McDonald's? No, I didn't mean McDonald's. And I mean, I'm not really embellishing. I was going to say I'm embellishing. Screw it. She don't listen to the show anyway. So she's a Browns fan. She'd be so mad if she heard this, though. And I may just tell her, hey, I mentioned you on the podcast, but she'll have to listen 30 minutes to get to it anyways. And she won't be able to stand all this Le'Veon Bell talk because she knows the Browns are the only team that would be able to afford them, and she knows that all things that happened on that mistake in the lake, it would go bad for them.
Yeah.
But he knows Todd Haley's offense. He's got that going for him, and Pro Football Focus said they were going to be the second-ranked offensive line last year. So, hey. Maybe, you know, can't get any worse. They might win a game or two.
They might, and it's –
but Bell doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't know what he wants. That was my point.
That's the bottom line. I really do question whether he does, because, you know, he flip-flops more, and I'll say this without getting political, than a politician.
well, that's all of them. You don't have to take a side there. It doesn't matter. Left, right.
They all do it.
Middle, all of them. Same bird. Left wing, right wing, same bird.
And I just keep wondering if he thinks somehow – if he just keeps saying no, the numbers will just keep going up. And it's, you know, that may have worked for a very short period of time, but that time is done. Now's the time to suck it up. And I know he did an interview yesterday after or before his Instagram live thing where he said, I have a number that I'm not going below. Well, my question is it the same number that it was last year? Because if it is, then you need to be a little realistic and understand you have one year more of wear and tear on your body. That number needs to come down. It can't be the same. You don't have the same, you know, statistics, criteria, what have you. You don't have the same lifespan that you did a year ago. So that needs to change. And if it's not going to, you're living in a fantasy, my friend.
He's living in Deal or No Deal, and he puts the thing over the buzzer or whatever the banker's offers in, and he says, no deal, Howie. And then he goes and picks the most expensive case, and now his next offer will be lower. That's the way I view this entire thing. You're only going to be able to, bluff or play the Russian roulette game only for so long before it ends up backfiring on you. So – Murtaugh Riggs.
Riggs. I was going to say Riggs.
I can picture you just kind of shaking your head like a dog, like just kind of, shaking yourself off if you were wet. That was fantastic. I have like no hair. I shave it now. I'm now bald by choice. That's my excuse. It is hereditary. It is genetic. But, man, I wish I would have had that like flowing like mullet of hair that Mel Gibson had back in the 80s and early 90s. I just had the ability to have that hair. I don't necessarily want to say I want that haircut, but maybe I skew more towards Danny Glover and his hairstyle. Maybe I am Murtaugh. I don't know. So we shall see. But
oh yeah, because I got flowing locks.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, you make a great point there, my friend. So, but we're still on Bell Watch, and, you know, I am kind of glad he did the thing on Instagram, all considering we're poking some fun at some of it. Like I said, if I put myself in his shoes, it's like, hey, I'm going to make – that's like the people that say, hey, football players shouldn't make millions of dollars. Well, the owners make millions of dollars, and all these people pay millions of dollars into it, so you should get compensated for your work, you know? The owners give them the platform of which to play, and, of course, they're going to make more money than the players. But the star players, they make what they're valued at. Their perceived value is whatever the other teams will bid for their services. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. I just think his thoughts or the thoughts being put in his head from Jerry Maguire or whoever these agents are with the show me the money are just a little overinflated. And he's trying to say, like, Jimmy Graham, I'm not a tight end, I'm a wide receiver. Bell's trying to say – he's looking at other guys like Antonio Brown saying, hey – I should be making what he's making. It's not going to work that way. It just doesn't work that way. There's a reason why there's pay inequality, if you want to take a political term and apply it to the NFL. There's inequality for pay among all quarterbacks because the next contract's always the biggest one, and there are other guys out there that just aren't going to get paid the same money because they're not good enough. They're unproven, they're inexperienced, or they're just not very good, period. I may have said that twice. I keep thinking DeShone Kizer, but he's a rookie. Second year. Quarterbacks, most important there's no debate. This is the most important position on the team. They're going to get paid the most. So running back is not going to get paid what a quarterback gets paid. Wide receivers, they're up there, but wide receivers, they're there with the sack artists, the guys who could bring down the quarterbacks, the most important person on the team. They can usually get paid the second most, or the guys that can knock down passes and make sure that quarterback can't connect with the receiver. Those guys get paid a lot too. Linemen, the guys who protect them, they're all over the place, but usually the left tackle, if you have a right-handed quarterback protecting that blind side, they're the ones that are at the premium. But there's disparity between all of that, too. Alejandro Villanueva is far from the highest paid left tackle in pro football. Mm-hmm. So Le'Veon Bell has to look at that in perspective, and he's trying to, slam Devonta Freeman. He tried to say that in the Instagram thing, too, about his contract. And he didn't bring up LeSean McCoy, you notice. But he knows, he's aware. But he's still living in a fantasy world. He's going to make this money this year. I don't know that he'll touch this same amount of money ever again. You made that point with Peterson, I think, where he never made over what, 11 and a quarter mil in a season?
His total earnings in one season capped out at 20 and a half. But that was because he got like a $12 million signing bonus that year. His prorated average, it's not what Bell said at 14. It's like 12.
And he's the highest paid guy to date. And, he says, hey, that was several years ago. We should get into the future here. But most teams aren't, Bell's a unique beast. He is getting thrown the ball. He plays every down. I don't know that he should play every down because he's got a card. Wrestlers, they call it a bump card. It means how many times you could take a fall or get hit before that card expires, runs out. And then you retire because your body's beat up. And he has that same type of card, running back card, rush card, whatever you want to call it. And he's only going to take so many hits. And those big hits he took on his legs, the injuries that he's had over his career have made that – they've taken a toll on that. Some of that's coming out of that account. And eventually – the odometer's going to get high, and there's only so much maintenance, and the vehicle's going to be too old. The tires are going to be run off of it, like people like to say, wear it out. And I don't know. Then he's not every down back. He may not be in any down back at that point. And that's why he's trying to get paid. I get that. And he's trying to get the long-term deal. A lot of people, hey, long-term deal with the guaranteed money over that span of time. Like you said, guaranteed money, not going to happen outside of that one-year bonus with the Steelers. But they're true to their word. They're smart with it, and they do the accounting tricks. They just have a different way of operating than other teams. They're very loyal to the guys that are loyal to them, and I think that's where Bell, his mind needs to be right now. I need to be loyal to the people that are loyal to me, because you know what? The grass isn't always greener on the other side. He's going to end up turning into another Mike Wallace, and we've seen how his career hasn't been quite the same since leaving the Steelers. Probably about an average or above average wide receiver, but nowhere near the star that he was turning out to be when he first left. So, Brian, always good having you on. Any final thoughts on that?
No.
Which is fine. It just made me – I was about to wrap up with our lethal weapon thing, and then I was thinking, I was like, hey, he mentioned Devonta Freeman and McCoy, and we didn't talk about that. And I think that was kind of important. And, the Bell haters, I was talking about that. People were saying, well, as soon as he scores the first touchdown, they won't be hating him anymore. Well, I don't necessarily hate him, but I'm critical, and I'm a glass-half-full and glass-half-empty guy because I could see it from both sides. I could see ownership, and I could see the players, and I could see the money on both ways, and I'm torn. All I really want is for him to just stop with the social, just get off social media, throw away your smartphone or whatever you did when you missed that drug test, and just throw it away again. And just make sure the NFL knows a number they could reach you at so you don't get suspended. And just stay off of Twitter, stay off of Instagram, stay away from the shenanigans. It's not helping endure the fans to you. If you end up with a long-term deal and then we never have to hear a peep about this again, and he shows up at the training camps and has 3, 4, 5 more awesome seasons with the Steelers, this will all be water under the bridge. But if he doesn't and this just continues, it's a damage to his name and his brand and his legacy and everything else, just like it would be for anybody. So I see it both ways. I don't hate on him at all, but I still want to be fair and be critical where necessary.
Yeah, I want to emphasize, I would rather have Bell here than not. I'm not a Bell hater at all. I just have to question certain things when they become outrageous, which is where we're at, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a tougher pill to swallow when you're already paying a few guys a nice sum of money, such as Antonio Brown, for example, your skill positions. Ben's actually a bargain now compared to what Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr and these guys are starting to get now. And maybe Kirk Cousins may even start to get into that near that $30 million ceiling, which is scary. Scary for quarterbacks who, you know, we're not talking about Marino or Montana and these guys here. And speaking of that, you know, I think about what those guys made versus what's being paid now for that position. I go back even further to like Fran Tarkenton, who was probably lucky to make six figures in a single season. And it's like, yeah, you guys came around. You were in the wrong era, but I think you're always going to be in the wrong era because it's always going to get kicked up a notch as long as the NFL is popular and people continue to invest their money in it. And that would be the TV networks and stuff too, given these huge contracts. So, folks,
absolutely,
I'm sure you got a lot to say. We had a lot to say. We're up against it. So my name's Joe. His name's Brian. Don't get it confused. It's not Riggs and Merck talk for real. We'd love to see your comments, so be sure to leave them as always. Until next time, be safe, be good. We'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.